Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating.
Well, welcome to another episode of the DermVet Podcast. I am really excited because I got asked to put together a new dermatology lecture for the World Congress of Veterinary Dermatology, which you've heard me talk a bit about. It's in Boston this July. It happens every 4 years where all the veterinary dermatologists in the world come together for one meeting. And we are so excited to have it, you know, close to us in the United States, but just so excited after not having it in 2020 to finally have all the veterinary dermatologists and general practitioners, technicians, anyone that's really interested in derm, this is definitely the place to be. This is the first time I have been asked to speak at one of the veterinary dermatology conferences beyond abstract presentations. And I wanted to give a glimpse into a lecture that I'm currently putting together that I'm really excited about. I was asked to put together a lecture about, you know, kind of dermatology on a budget, which can be really daunting because, as we know, with these long-term diseases, it can be expensive and it can be really frustrating. And it's great when you have an owner who can do everything you feel like is necessary, but that's just not the real world that we live in. We have to be willing to provide different access of care points and just make sure that we can do our best to use our mind and really utilize the tools we have in an efficient way, cost-wise and time-wise. So I came up with what I hope comes across as kind of clever because I'm really excited about it, an acronym to consider how, and the way that I'm kind of titling this lecture, how to make dermatology cheaper. With that, the cheap portion of that stands for cytology, because you know I always have to have that in there somewhere. History, examination, assessment, and plan. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily giving you tools to make dermatology free. Of course, we have to know our worth, but I'm just wanting you to really think about and consider how we're using the tools we have to be diligent about the workup of that pet for the owner. Because it is great to have certain protocols in place, but I don't think you should scrape, pluck, smear every single case. Of course, I think if you don't know what's going on, you should go back to the basics. I talk about that a lot. But to be upfront, I do not do skin scrapings on every case. If I don't think it's mites, I'm not going to skin scrape. Of course, as you gain more experience working up dermatology cases, you get more comfortable with that. But I just want you to know, like, I'm cytologying almost everything. I'm not skin scraping everything. I'm not trichogramming everything. I'm not, you know, ringworm testing everything, because I really want to be efficient with my clients' money. So having protocols like doing certain tests, again, it's great to try to standardize that to some degree, but we have to make sure we're really thinking about how we're utilizing the cost an owner is giving us to take care of their pet. So cheap is a way that I can kind of get my mind around. If I have a case that maybe there is some cost consciousness, what can I really maximize with that money to get me to hopefully a really great long-term plan, whether it's future diagnostics we'll save up for and prioritizing those, or the treatment I think is really going to make sense for that pet. So let's go through this cheap protocol. So of course, cytology, you know, the C is first, or else I probably would have put that a little bit later on. But cytology, you know, as I always say, is our minimum database in dermatology. It is so important. And I know the cost of cytology can add up when you're repeating it a lot. But when you think about the information we get from other tests that maybe cost more, cytology, I feel like, is one of the best bangs for your buck as far as an actual diagnostic test. Because we can rule out certain things, right? Like if we see a dog with skin lesions that are scaly and really itchy, you know, I always say you can't smell yeast and diagnose it. We have to find it. If you put the cost into cytology to look under the microscope for that pet and we find a lot of malassezia, we can potentially save the cost of a bacterial culture and sensitivity that doesn't need to happen. And we know that's more expensive. You know, if we see that there's not much bacteria, but there's a bunch of inflammatory cells, yes, biopsy is not cheap. But if we prioritize that as the next step, because we do think it's an autoimmune disease, then that's still going to save the owner some cost. So cytology, really, if you think about it, can tell you inflammation, if there's infection or not. You can even get hints of other diseases like acantholytic keratinocytes with pemphigus, dermatophyte spores. You know, we don't see it on all ringworm cases, but occasionally we do, and that can give us an indication of what's going on. Neoplastic cells. There's so many different things it can tell us. You know, if you're suspecting dermatophyte, of course, doing a fungal PCR, DTM, those are helpful, but it's really only giving you a yes or no on one disease process versus cytology being able to tell you so much. So really collecting cytology as your baseline is going to be more cost effective for that owner. So we can either guide them to the test that makes sense for their pet or start appropriate treatment. You know, I don't like antibiotic roulette. None of us do. So if I know that I've had cases where they've just been on azole after azole after azole because it's assumed it's yeast. But when we run a cytology, we see like, oh, actually you have a lot of bacteria. All of the money that owners put towards something like yeast treatment and repeat veterinary visits could have just gone into a culture which would make more sense. So that's why cytology really is something that can help make dermatology a bit cheaper. If you train yourself how to, you know, examine it, there's lots of digital cytology machines that are out now as well, like TrueView by Zomedica or the Imagist by Zoetis. So there's lots of opportunities to get help with cytology if you don't feel comfortable as well. Then we break into the other things that require you to use your mind. So history, that would be the H of cheap. History is one of the most valuable diagnostic tools we have in dermatology as well. It can give a ton of information that sometimes is even more valuable, you know, than the exam itself, because you're just finding things out like, is it seasonal? Well, if it's seasonal, then obviously we don't need to do a diet trial if it's an allergic pet. But you just want to make sure you take the time to record and evaluate that thorough history, have those intake forms if that makes sense. But really spending the time during that exam, which by the time the owner's in the room with you, they've accepted that fee. So at that point, taking the time to get a really good history can be so beneficial in assuring that we do know the next steps of what we need to do. You know, do they have GI histories? Are the other pets affected? Is everyone on ectoparasite control? Do we have other systemic signs that are present? You know, if you have an older dog who's all of a sudden broken out with pyoderma, but you also find out they became PUPD around the same time, maybe we're prioritizing a Cushing's test rather than putting the money into allergy medications. So there's certain indicators that can really help you in a history with your differential list. Remember, just like back in vet school, we're all creating a differential list when we evaluate these pets. You know, you're just doing it quicker in your head as you're gaining the information. My differential list is like shifting positions as I'm talking to the owner, depending on what they're telling me. You know, did they first break out with pruritus when they were two? Well, then I'm going to have a different differentialist. And if they say, oh, no, but they never had a sign or history of pruritus until they were 12. So that history is extremely, extremely valuable in trying to really prioritize what you were spending your client's money on when working up their pet. The E in cheap, examination. Do not overlook the importance of your examination. A couple things that I would really, really try to emphasize for you. Yes, it's important to focus on what the owner comes in concerned about, but please try to do your best to still do a full dermatologic examination. If they come in concerned about one lesion and it's an epidermal collarette and they think it's going to be ringworm, you know it's probably bacterial folliculitis, then the question is why? You know, they're like, oh, they've never really bothered anything else. You look and their paws are really red, their axillary region's really red, and that could suggest that you might have an allergic pet. You know, they just might not have thought about the fact that, yes, of course the dog licks his paws all the time. I just thought that was from stress or being bored. These are still things that we can pick up on that can give us an indication of what could be the primary cause, especially true for things like ears, right? Owners always come in, oh, the ears are infected, and that's what they're worried about. And that makes sense because ears are really annoying. If you deal with a pet with, you know, ear disease, it's painful, it's uncomfortable, there's an odor to it. So owners come in and say, I'll just have an ear infection. If you just focus on the ear infection and don't look at the rest of the pet, you may miss some clues that could really tell you the reason why that's happening. And when we talk about making dermatology cheaper, you have to think about the long-term implications of that as well. You know, every veterinary visit, every test we run, every medication is another cost to that owner. So if taking the time to do a thorough examination allows it so we figure out the primary cause, we educate that owner on the primary cause. So hopefully we can save those repeat visits as much as possible because they're not just getting infected all the time because the primary cause is not controlled. That's also going to be beneficial. So examination, again, something that we want to take the time, pick up on things like distribution of lesions. If you have a dog that comes in and their nasal plenum is completely depigmented and swollen, Cytopoint injection is probably not the best use of that owner's finances unless they also have signs of allergic disease and they're uncomfortable, because ultimately we probably need to figure out what autoimmune or deep infectious or neoplastic disease process that's there. So we want to be using that examination and those distribution of lesions to really prioritize the things that we want to spend the client's money on. The A of cheap, assessment. So again, this is kind of pulling all of those little things that we just talked about together. We put that piece of the puzzle in place and see what we think is the best use of that owner's money. So the cytology, the history, the examination, that's when we decide now, what are the next steps? You know, are we at a point we feel comfortable starting a treatment plan? Is this an allergic dog? We are going to do infection control and Apoquil. Is the pieces of the puzzle not really looking like it's something like an allergic pet? Do we need to save for biopsy? Is it worthwhile to do something like a fungal PCR? So those are the things that we want to make sure we're really taking the time to assess. Again, the protocols are great, but we want to really think, like, do I really think this pet has mange and I should spend the owner's money on a trichogram or a skin scrape? You know, do I really think this pet could have dermatophytosis, or am I just checking something off the list to do? You know, those are the things that I want to, you need to do in the beginning of your career maybe, but as you get more educated, you really want to think about the tests that should be necessary for that pet based on your examination, your history, and your cytology, because this is the point where you're coming together and saying, okay, you know, I think this is more autoimmune. I don't necessarily need to spend the money on fungal culture versus doing the exact same test on every single pet. So again, with experience and just seeing these cases, and of course I've had cases that I don't think it's something, I don't think it's dermatophyte, I don't do it. And then they come back and the lesions have changed or progressed a bit. And that's okay. You know, of course we want to be complete in what we think is necessary, but sometimes lesions change. Sometimes the history changes. Sometimes it seems straightforward and it's not. And that's okay too. That's kind of part of the evolution of dealing with the skin diseases that can change, that can progress. Sometimes you clear up the infection and all of a sudden something's really obvious. So don't be afraid to prioritize, but also to come back and be like, ooh, maybe I should have done this, because sometimes that happens in these cases. And then finally, we're going to put together the plan. So after we've made our assessment, the plan is going to be split to me into kind of two categories. The diagnostics, like what further diagnostics do we need to do? Maybe the owner cannot necessarily afford it today, but we can educate the owner on why we should do that in the future. So a dog that has a pyoderma that you're worried could have thyroid disease, maybe they can't test the thyroid that day because they just need to focus on treating the infection with their finances. But maybe in a month, you know, we could work up to testing for thyroid and we just educate them that we feel like that's the best next step to working up their pet's disease. The other category would obviously be treatment. So what are we going to spend the money on for treatment? And, you know, sometimes when we look at treatment, we have to think about what's needed then and what's the long-term future for this pet with cost. For example, if I have an owner who says, Apoquil is just too expensive, I can't do it. That is true for some owners. I will completely respect that. But some owners, if you really take a step back and say, okay, I understand, you know, you've been through a lot, so many different visits, so many different infections. If we look at the cost of Apoquil per month, long-term for your, say, non-seasonal allergic pet, and say they can't allergy test, the diet, they can't do a diet trial. If we look at the cost of that, if your pet successfully is managed with that treatment, in the long run, and instead of seeing me once a month and having to do cytology and treat infection, What if they only break out twice a year, you know, versus all the time? If those repeat costs of the veterinary visit, the cytology, the antimicrobials, if those are also not cheap, if we are not having to spend the money on that as much, sometimes it's more cost effective for the owner and they just didn't think about that. So we have to look at, yes, this medication per month, we have to make sure it somewhat fits within the budget, but also explain, you know, versus other medications, if one's well tolerated and maybe more expensive, but, you know, we don't have to monitor as much lab work, or the pet won't break out as much, so you don't have to come spend the cost to see me as often. Maybe it's actually more cost effective in the long run for that pet. So we have to look at the acute cost, but also the long-term cost for that pet. And that's where we just have to really decide what makes sense. So I love allergy testing, but if an owner says that it's not realistic for them to be able to put the cost into allergy testing, because remember, we allergy test to put them on immunotherapy. So if they can't commit to immunotherapy, or finances are tight and, you know, for something that they're not sure how well it's going to work until they put a year of time into it, that's not the right decision, then I'm not going to push them to allergy testing. We might educate on it in case in the future that becomes an option, but we're going to focus on the things that we actually can do to symptomatically help that pet. And then over time, I'll keep coming back to it if it does become a realistic option for the owner. And when we start getting into resistant infections, you know, of course, culture and certain antibiotics, those can add up too. There's cost-effective options we always can consider for things like a resistant superficial pyoderma. Topicals, you know, if I have a pet who's not responding, owner can't afford culture, you know, they could really get stringent on, you know, every day, every other day, chlorhexidine bathing. Dilute bleach is very cheap. It's time-consuming and owners have to, you know, be careful about staining things, but it's very cheap. So there are ways we can try in even these difficult situations to make sure it's cost effective for the owner. So that is a little snippet into what I'll be speaking of in a longer format when I'm at the World Congress of Veterinary Dermatology in Boston in July. How to make dermatology cheaper, cheap being cytology, history, examination, assessment, and plan. So if you want to hear more expanded version of that, I have one more talk I'm doing, and also so many other wonderful talks are being given, you know, at the World Congress of Veterinary Dermatology. I really encourage you to meet me in Boston, meet all your fellow derm nerd friends in Boston, and come just get some of the best education you're going to get when it comes to veterinary dermatology. And I hope to see you all there and see you hopefully at my lecture.